Good day once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for rejoining us on today's segment of Christian Conservative Radio. Your host, as usual, Pastor Bob Peterson, as well as myself, Spokane City Councilman Mike Fagan. Pastor Bob, I'm telling you what, got another whopper of a show here for the listeners out there. We are getting, you know, we're only a couple of weeks away from the bottom line, and that bottom line is November 4th, the general election. And man, I'm telling you what, yeah, you bet. We're just talking a matter of a week to two, and we're going to already be there. Well, you know, folks, even though we are headed into that general election, be advised, Christian Conservative Radio is going to stay right here. We're not going anywhere. We are in it for the long haul with you, ladies and gentlemen, there. And as we always strongly encourage you to do, please, when you get that opportunity, log on to www.rallyright.org. Again, that's rallyright.org. And for those folks that can't log on, please call us at 208-987-0005. Now, the question in your mind is why? Well, I'll tell you why, ladies and gentlemen. It's because when you do log on to rallyright.org, you're going to be able to access some resource information, background information. You're going to be able to listen to previous broadcasts here in podcast form.
We're getting a lot of them caught up. They're caught up till July.
You betcha.
We'll be posting more of them over the next couple of weeks. We should get almost completely caught up.
You bet. And as well, ladies and gentlemen, it is all about you folks out there that are listening. It's all about motivating and inspiring fellow Christians and others that are listening. You got to get up out of that chair while you still have the ability to do so. Get your hands dirty, get reengaged in your local community, and especially in your local government. Pastor Bob?
Well, we've got a mission statement here. It's to bring together and empower like-minded Christians who will be active in safeguarding our freedom and way of life in our cities, counties, states, and country. These like-minded Christians will unite under the auspices of the Holy Bible, prayer and fellowship, and the Christian Conservative Creed. Mike, you know, that creed we wrote years ago, a lot of people form around that creed, and they've gathered together around it.
They did. As a matter of fact, I'm very, very proud to reannounce the fact that, you know, by virtue of this rallyright.org organization, the webpage that we've got up there, the fact that we are asking new listeners, old listeners, to reach out to your family members, your coworkers, congregation members, to let them know that we are here every Saturday at noon on 106.5 in the Spokane Coeur d'Alene area, as well as five other affiliate stations. And I'm telling you what, folks, we have had well over 5,000 Christians sign up on rallyright.org. So I'm telling you what, that Christian Conservative Creed is definitely something that we Christians can rally around. We're talking about principles and values that we all agree upon. We believe in the triune of God, the Father, His only Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, freedom, the Constitution, states' rights, justice, individual rights, the right to life, marriage, and I'm going to be clear, folks, the union of one man and one woman, personal responsibility, and that is an issue that we're going to touch upon a little bit later on in today's show, national security, fiscal responsibility, and finally, support for Israel. Pastor Bob?
Well, you know, the most important thing of our program is to lead people to Jesus Christ. But once you're a Christian and you want to move forward, what does God have you do? And lately, we have had some fantastic things happening. Last week on our program, we talked about Ezekiel, and God sought in the Bible. And it says in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me and behalf of the land, and I should not destroy it. But I found no one." So God goes out to find somebody to stand in the gap. Can't find a single person. "Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God." And so, you know, I'm in victory right now. You know, I think ten days ago, I was screaming to the Lord, is there one person who we helped get elected who's going to really stand in the gap and stand up when the big battle comes and really stand there? And boy, I'll tell you, we got Don Knapp elected for precinct committeeman, and he has the hitching post over in Idaho. And this last week, it was national news everywhere on every blog. I think the Coeur d'Alene Press had on the front there, hell hath no fury like the internet.
You bet.
And I'll tell you, Don Knapp has made a stand against this, and he's willing to go to jail. He's willing to pay the price. He's willing to be fined. He's willing to be all of these things just to stand because he wants to obey God rather than men.
That's right. And what we're talking about specifically, ladies and gentlemen, Don Knapp happens to be the principal, the owner of the Hitching Post right there in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I mean, this organization has been a longtime fixture. And as a result of these recent activist judge decisions, ladies and gentlemen, he is now going to be forced to perform homosexual lesbian weddings.
And he refused to do it. And so it's going to be a battle there, and we've got to just keep him in our prayers. He was on our show here on August 30th, and he had gotten into it for the first time, and they were threatening him even before this thing was handed down.
Absolutely. You know? And I'll tell you something, Pastor Bob. You know, Don Knapp right now with his action, his lawsuit that is now pending, and I'll tell you, people are on the edge of their seat waiting to see what the end result is going to be. But Don is a perfect example of a Christian who is standing in the gap right now, and we need to develop more Christian conservative leaders. But, you know, in Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, all in the Pacific Northwest here that are willing to stand in the gap. Why, folks? It's because we are the salt and light of the world, ladies and gentlemen. We Christians are supposed to show up at the polls and vote our Christian principles. Why do you think we are in the social ills that we've got right now? It's because we Christians don't show up. Isn't that right, Pastor Bob?
Well, it is. You know, and one thing you know about this show is you know, God can call you to do anything. And so even though you have, you know, been out there and you say, oh, I'm too afraid to do this, you know, you can listen to one story after another on this show of people who said they would never do anything in their life, and then they came forward and they did something fantastic because God can give you the power to do it. So you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then find out what he calls you to do.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, Pastor Bob, he is definitely supernatural, and he will be communicating with you. I can almost guarantee it.
Well, that's it. And, you know, we had a big victory in the primary in May over in Idaho, and great victories in the summer here in Washington for candidates in the primaries here. And now we're coming up on the November 4th election. Mike, just give a few specifics over in Washington of what people have to do to vote here, because it's a mail-in only.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, unfortunately, folks, we do have this mail-in ballot system here in Washington State. You know, again, chock full of all of that potential for fraud, et cetera, and so forth. But that's the way it is here. So the recommendation that I can give you folks out there is when you are sitting down at that kitchen table or wherever it is that you are considering voting, you need to sit down, have no food or drink around you at all because you don't want to mar that ballot. You go ahead and vote your conscience, vote your Christian principles, and get that ballot mailed in before 8 p.m. on November 4th.
Well, that's it. In Idaho, just get to the polls there. The polls are in your neighborhood. You can, the elections office is right there on 3rd Street in Coeur d'Alene. And if you want to get an absentee ballot for any reason, you can go over there. Just look them up in the phone book and just go on over there. Just get out there and vote. For those conservatives, and if you want to see a lot of them that have been on Christian Conservative Radio, they are posted up on rallyright.org.
You betcha.
Speaking
of which, Pastor Bob, you know, as usual, we do have a special guest in the studio. This is another gentleman, ladies and gentlemen, that is a Christian standing in the gap. This guy is stepping up, and he's making it happen. This gentleman is running for county commissioner in Kootenai County there in Idaho. And I'll tell you something, folks, if you'd like to log on and follow us as we are going through this interview here, please feel free to log on to www.markforidaho.com. I'll spell that name. That'll be MARC, the number 4, the word Idaho.com. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Mark Eberline. How you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
That is great. You know, we really appreciate the fact that we have a fellow Christian here sitting between Pastor Bob and I that, again, is willing to step up and stand in the gap like you have here, Mark. Please give us a little bit of an idea about your family and faith.
Well, I married Melaine, and we've been married for 36 years. We have 4 children and 9 grandchildren, if I'm not mistaken. And our faith is what holds us together. Her brother and I used to hang around when we were in high school, and we started talking about Christ, and I ended up becoming a convert. He went to a seminary, and so I was sort of left all by myself, and my wife became a friend, and through her, I managed to keep my faith and to avoid all my old bad friends that I used to have, and it's to her that I owe a huge debt of gratitude.
Well, that's pretty fantastic. Where did you come from? Where did you grow up? How did you get to Idaho? How did all this come about?
I grew up in Washington State, in a little town called Tenasket, in the very north central part of the state, one of the biggest counties in the country, but one of the smallest populations. And went to high school there and attended a local college. Did a lot of different things, logging, and finally started doing cabinets. And our projects ended up leading us to California, which meant airplanes and suppliers and trips to Spokane quite often. So we ended up moving to Idaho. We put our daughters in a private school, and I was close to the airports. And we continued to grow, and we went through some changes in the business within 2008. We managed to keep our stuff all afloat, and it's doing quite well right now, but it's time to look in a different direction, and I think that's the political sphere where we got a lot of problems.
Oh, you betcha. Well, describe some of those problems just off the top of your head.
Well, in Kootenai County specifically, we have an employee morale problem, which is essentially any business has the same thing. It's a management issue. We got a jail issue over there. I don't think the current management of Kootenai County has done a good job of picking a wise way to address that. We just went through an ugly land use thing that was very...
Yeah, the land use. Boy, I'll tell you, that was fought bitterly.
It was fought bitterly, but there were people that gathered together and put themselves in a group, and they attended the meetings, and they changed the minds of the commissioners.
Everybody said it couldn't be done, but it was, wasn't it?
It was done.
It was done, and not only that, but two commissioners kind of lost in the primary here. One bowed out, and the other one lost, but you and David Stewart are running both there for those positions, and you're both against that UN-mandated thing that they were trying to put through in the county.
That is correct. It's nobody knew anything about Agenda 21 before it started, but there was quite a few people that started talking about it, and even the commissioners and so on and so forth started having some knowledge of Agenda 21.
You bet. How about a little description? What does a county commissioner do in Idaho?
Well, county commissioner is essentially a manager of the county. They write budgets. They approve budgets of other departments. They will sit in on Board of Equalization hearings. They act like a court in a way, a judge, you know, a mediator between the people and the county assessor if their property taxes are assessed correctly. They're also in charge of making certain rules over there, you know, as regards to land use and so on and so forth.
I don't think a lot of people out there really understand commissioners of a county, and then you got cities, you know. There's all county land in Kootenai County. And so there's incorporated city lands like Coeur d'Alene and Post Falls and Hayden, but there's all this county property, you know, and that's you oversee all of that.
Well, cities are located within a county, but inside of the cities, those are administered by mayors and the city council. The county commissioners primarily manage the resources that deal with the county itself. There's a clerk that's, you know, affects the entire county, sheriff affects the entire county, so on and so forth. The rural lands are administered by the land use codes that are developed by Kootenai County or any
other
county.
Well, I'll tell you. A county commissioner being a conservative Christian is going to be really important to that county and to have the focus of the people. Do you have that heart for that?
With the grace of God, I do.
Well, I'll tell you something, Mark. You know, I definitely share a sentiment that I just detected from you, and that is that uncertainty, you know, because I'll tell you, I have that just about every day that I wake up and put on the sport coat and go into City Hall. But the thing of it is, you know, I know that God's got his hand on my shoulder, and he's leading me in the direction that he wants me to go.
The Lord is the protector of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
There There you go. Very, very well said, for sure. Now, you know, you've already kind of indicated some of the problems that, kind of prompted you to get into the political arena there. You know, we're talking about mismanagement of some very large and detrimental type operations that we've got there in the county. What are some of the other things that you're looking to accomplish there in Kootenai County?
I think one of the big problems, I'm going to kind of turn that back around on you, why am I interested in politics? At one point in my life, I was very interested in politics, spent a lot of time writing letters to congressmen, and I kind of fell off the face of the earth at one point because it felt hopeless. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do anything. And then I realized that if I don't do anything, then I'm no better than somebody that's doing nothing, and I started back into it. So I can't fault somebody for apathy. It feels overwhelming. You can do nothing and nothing happens. Nothing changes. And that's only because good men don't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened 2 years ago? You ran in the primary, you know, 2 years ago. And what got you motivated to do that all of a sudden?
Because I got fired up. I got a bunch of grandkids coming along. And, hey, they got to live in this mess that we made. You know, us old timers, we can get by. But we got grandchildren and children that are coming up and great-grandchildren. And what kind of a legacy we're going to leave for them?
Well, that's it. And so you went and run in the primary there, but you lost, didn't you?
Yeah, I bearded the lion, and the lion kind of got away from me.
But you didn't lose by much, did you?
No, it was 238 volts in a field of five, and I was an unknown.
And so then you just decided to go for it again.
Yes, provided somebody else was going to run that I thought would be a good person to run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bet.
And boy, you got, so you won that primary. How many votes did you win that by?
It was pretty decisive this time. I think I had, I don't even know what it was, 2,000 votes more than my opponent?
Oh, wow. Well, that's great for a state for that. And, you know, the people of Idaho, they really saw you as a candidate, and they really wanted to support you. So it was a really good landslide there. And we're glad to have you back in there. Now you're coming up with the battle, though, aren't you?
Oh, yes. This is a battle.
And so November 4th is the election, and we just it's going to be a tough one out there, isn't it?
Yes. You should always view it as a tough one, because otherwise you'll be like the tortoise and the hare, and the hare lost.
Yes,
that's for sure. You know, the state of Idaho here over the last couple of weeks has been going through their media iterations. You know, you've got a hotly contested governor race going on. You've got the activist judges that have basically overturned laws that protect our religious freedoms in the state of Idaho. And you folks are now, you know, under the thumb by these activist judges to, you know, do homosexual weddings and stuff like this.
Oh, it's just the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just
they're
the
on an agenda. This is just the first.
You betcha. So, well, you know, that being said, Mark, you know, what are some of the things that have to happen there in the state of Idaho in order to, you know, maintain your designation as a red state?
Vote.
Oh, you bet.
Well, I'm
glad pretty important.
Hey, you know, Mike, I'm glad he's got a lot of words here today for us. So.
But you know what, Pastor Bob? I mean, they're important words, too, because, I mean, they are impactful. I mean, that one single word.
You can't be apathetic and make a change.
There you go.
Oh, ever since we started this show and we watched the voting, some of the voting numbers out there, the percentage is so low with the conservatives and the Christians going out there. Somehow, it's been instilled in people. I don't know if it comes from the churches or where it comes from, but less and less Christians are getting involved in politics to do something. And this is why evil is beginning to reign over us.
You bet.
All you have to do is get out and vote for the righteous and get those good people in there who are going to stand by some good things, and we'll have a good government.
You bet. Well, Mark, you know, you happened to mention that word apathy. That's an ugly word, although it is a real word. It is right here and in our face. And I'll tell you, you know, that's exactly what Pastor Bob and I have taken on as far as a mission with Christian Conservative Radio. Like I said, it's all about inspiring and motivating folks to get back engaged. Now, aside from the apathy, you know, what are some of the other things that you are seeing that are holding Christians back from participating? I mean, is it the fact that they may be biting off on the false prophet message? What are some of the other things that you're seeing?
Of why they won't vote.
Why they're not getting involved.
I do not know.
It's just
you would have to ask them.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of different reasons out there. And I think sometimes people are frustrated with government. And some there's a whole a whole liberal will over the whole United States right now, a whole evil that's come upon the land of the United States right now. And they really don't want you to vote. And so they've put out all kinds of scenarios that a lot of people have taken on, and they don't want to vote. And so they feel like it's useless, like what you said. But I'll tell you, it's going to come around. I think people are waking up now, and I see God picking up a whole lot of Christians and a whole lot of leaders who are stepping forward. They've been all in front of me all this week. And boy, I'll tell you, the Lord's lifting up some really good people now.
Oh,
well,
absolutely.
In Kootenai County, there's a lot of people that are fired up. They don't want to have another land use thing come in like we've just got rid of. And they're not very happy about this proposed jail that just got turned over.
Yes. And then the city governments and everything else. So I see. And, you know, Kootenai County is such a concentrated. It's probably one of the most per capita Christian counties in the whole United States. But who's going to get attacked the most?
Yep. You
bet. I mean, when we had our election there, some of our candidates for Christian conservatives were outspent 10-1. And the money was coming in from outside the state, you know. Yeah. And so they want to take down these righteous things in this country, and they will do anything to pour the money in to do this. But I'll tell you, the people can make a change. They can do this. You know, you can get in there. Now, standing in the gap, sometimes it's not very easy. Like Jonah in the Bible, he was the prophet of God, right? And when he asked him to go to Nineveh and to go tell them to repent there, Jonah went the other way. He fleed, and then what did God do? He got on a ship, caused big waves. He got in it with all the people on the ship, and they threw him over the side, and he got swallowed by a giant fish, and then God sent him right back over to Nineveh, you know? So, in other words, sometimes we fight God on what he wants us to do, but we can stand in the gap there. And so it's great to. Now, what do you think's going on with the Republican Party nationwide? What would you like to see changes in the Republican Party?
I would like people to understand what conservative truly is and act as true conservatives. I think I said a couple years ago that taking people's property rights away is not conservative. Spending people's money is not conservative, and creating more laws to rule people and be more of a micromanager in their lives is not conservative.
No, and so you think the Republican Party has been a part of this?
I think probably the society in general has been a part of that, but politics likes to rule. If you put a plant in a bigger pot, it's just going to grow bigger. And so control and micromanagement is just part of government. Uh-huh. We need less of that. And the Republican Party needs to be getting back to being where it's the conservative party.
Well, I think it declares it in its platform. You
it
know?
Does, and I think we have a great, great platform in the state of Idaho.
Oh, man, the national and the state platform are great. That's why I support them. But why has the leadership gone away from something that's so great? And so we got to bring it back again, don't we? And it's a great thing there.
You bet. Well, I'll tell you something, Mark. You know, the Republican Party in the state of Idaho has been in the news here over the last couple of weeks. And, if people can stick to the platform, and I'll tell you, we have the same issue over in Washington State. We've got the infighting. We've got the split in the party. We got the various factions going on. We've got Republicans running against Republicans. It's just getting way, way out of hand. And, you know, the Democrats are sitting back in their chair just laughing at the Republicans because we are in such disarray. Now, what would you do in order to bring the Republican Party in the state of Idaho together?
I think be open and try to leave the family squabbles at home, speak with people and not be judgmental upon them, and find out what common ground you have instead of emphasizing the parts of it that are uncommon ground.
Uh-huh. Well, you bet. You bet. Well, I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, we're down to about a minute and a half in today's segment. Once again, I strongly encourage you, as always, you need to log on and check out this gentleman, Mark Eberlein. He is running for the county commissioner position in Kootenai County. You can do so by going to www.markforidaho.com. I'll spell that for you. M-A-R-C, the number 4, the word Idaho.com. And with that, Mark, can you take about 30 seconds and provide the listeners out there a parting shot?
Vote.
Say it again.
Vote.
There we go. Well, we've never had anybody on the program who's been that simple in their whole explanation.
Well, that's the whole thing. If we get out there and vote, we make our thoughts known. We make our voice heard. If we stay home, we're part of the problem.
That's great, man. It's time to close in prayer here.
You bet. Mark, would you close us in prayer, please?
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderfully said. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, as we head on out the door for the weekend, don't forget, you need to log on and check us out. You can do so by going to www.rallyright.org. Again, rallyright.org. If you can't log on, give us a call, 208-987-0005. And with that, fathers and grandfathers out there, grab that family, glorify and praise God. Give your family a great big hug and a kiss. Tell them you love them. Take them somewhere nice this weekend. We'll see you next week.